Welcome, everyone, to the 16th edition of the 10-Minute TikTok Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brinkman from the Ultimate Toolkit. I'm joined today by John Bodner, the Senior Director of Ticket Sales from the Trenton Thunder. We're excited to have you. Thanks for joining us today, John.
Yeah, happy to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's jump right into some questions here. I know you're obviously in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area there, and obviously sports wagering is a legal topic to be discussed there, and I know it's opening up again in more states across the country. Tell us a little bit about, are you dabbling in the space yourself, and then how do you think the fan engagement side of that might work, you know, in ballpark or out of stadium in the future?
Yeah, I think sports betting, you know, is something that so many people can get involved in, and I've personally gotten involved, and honestly, it really started with going to games, and I was betting on sports games that I was attending, or I was betting on games that I was watching, and that's kind of exactly what you're talking about as far as the engagement level. You know, I wanted to, you know, almost have a stake in what I was watching, and that allows you to do it by, you know, either betting on your favorite team or betting on some component of the game. You know, and we're really fortunate in this area to have sports betting, you know, be legal in both New Jersey and Pennsylvania because we draw so many fans from the Bucks County region of Pennsylvania. So really our whole fan base can get involved. But you talk about the engagement, and so often in minor league sports, we hear, why do people come to our games? And it's because of the engagement level that we have. It's not just about the players on the field. It's about their experience. And I think sports betting as a whole, you know, really ties in on what you're trying to do. And I think you're seeing it across, you know, the professional sports teams. I think you're seeing them implement some of this. And, you know, usually what happens at the major league level, you know, has the trickle down effect to the minor league level. And, you know, anytime we can enhance engagement with our fans, that's a big win for us.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. It'll be interesting to see kind of how that does work and, you know, if teams and leagues are open to the discussion of, does it change games or anything? Obviously, it seems like, most are saying it doesn't today, but, you know, it definitely seems like fan engagement could be a key piece of drawing more fans or new fans into the games.
Yeah, I think that when you look at what we're trying to do here is attract – a wide level of fans to our ballpark, right? So many teams are implementing social spaces in their facilities, all to capture a youth audience. I know I personally use the Barstool sports book right now, and that's only available in Pennsylvania and maybe one other state right now. And you know, you might ask why I'm attracted to that sports book. And I think it's because of their interactive element. You know, what they have is they do a live stream on Twitter from time to time with watching the games live. So not only am I engaged in the actual game itself, but now I'm engaged with, you know, people that I follow on Twitter and I interact with on Twitter, and I'm watching their reaction. And I think that's what you could see, you know, that's what you see when you go to a sports book at a casino, right? That's the fun of going to a sports book at a casino, is seeing all the fans from different teams and watching different games and watching how they react. And I think that's an element that, you know, sports teams are going to look for at their ballparks and at their stadiums. You know, you're seeing these social spaces, and this is just enhancing that and getting people to invest in, and, you know, whether or not if there's the ability to eventually bet on minor league sports games is, you know, just getting people coming to the game. So often we talk about at the minor league level, who cares what's going on the field, right? It's all about the experience. And this is just another enhancement that we can add.
Speaking of experiences, I know you guys have done some kind of interesting and unique things on the virtual group experience side. Can you tell us just a little bit about what that looks like and what you guys have been working on?
Yeah, I think when all this started to happen and everybody started, you know, working from home, school from home, you know, obviously people are staying inside much more than they ever did. And you know, as we prepare for the 2021 season, you know, I think there's even things in, you know, in doubt there of just capacity limits and just, you know, how many people we're going to be able to get out and get, you know, get in front of. And, you know, and during the off season, it's so important to stay top of mind all the time. And I think that's going to be something that we see positive come out of the whole stay at home experience is we can build things in and we can stay top of mind. And one of the things that we're working on right now, in partnership with a local Boy Scout Council, is a virtual scout night, where we have a virtual component of you know, the scouts can be involved and they can be engaged. And there's actually sports merit badges that scouts can earn, and they can earn either the full badge or components of their sports merit badge by attending this webinar. So obviously they're invested in that aspect of it, but it keeps the Trenton Thunder top of mind for them while they're doing it. And then you tie in, you can tie in a scout patch. We're going to tie tickets into it for a future game. And you know, that helps us too right now. Obviously in the future, we're going to want it tied to possibly a specific game, but right now you're able to tie it to a flexible ticket so that, you know, in the future they can attend a game. You know, we're not necessarily tied to one game right now. And if we have to go back, you know, and we're not forced to backtrack to capacity limits, if necessary in 2021. But you know, it keeps us top of mind. And I think this is something that you're going to be able to see moving forward. I think it has great possibilities for schools, for scout groups, you know, really anything across the board. And then not only just, you know, the group elements, but now tying in benefits to group leaders, benefits to, you know, membership holders, you know, coordinating a question and answer session in the past with a manager and, you know, how many people can attend a specific event. Now with Zoom calls, you know, the ability to have those and organize those is so much easier now. People can attend on their, you know, they don't have to drive to the ballpark to attend something. You know, obviously those face-to-face interactions are still going to be key, but this is just something I think, you know, there is never going to be a time when you cannot, you know, you cannot sell a group experience. We're going to be able to sell group experiences 12 months a year, rather than just from April to September. And another component of the virtual, this virtual world we're living in, I think, you know, it's heavily affected the local Chamber of Commerce. You know, at one point they had to shift all their events to virtual. And, you know, I can't tell you, over the years, I've missed events because, you know, a meeting comes up at the end of the day and now I'm like, oh man, I can't go to this event. I'm gonna be 30, 45, an hour late. You know, because I had to drive there. Now, if I just hop on my computer, I can be there instantly. You know, so taking what the Chamber of Commerce has done and applying it once again to our business model is, okay, you know, we can set virtual meetings that, you know, may be a little bit easier for the people that we're trying to get in touch with. You know, we can set up, you know, benefits for our membership. So, you know, hey, how do you use your membership? Just log on and we're going to have a quick webinar of how to go over things, or bringing in group leaders, you know, new group leaders, inviting them to an event, a virtual event, where they can learn how to become a group leader, how to fundraise, you know, the best ways to use our platforms, things of that nature, I think are just so much more convenient for the consumer now. Than, you know, possibly they were in the past, you know, asking somebody to come to the ballpark. You know, some people don't like that face-to-face interaction. Obviously, that's what we want, and we want to bring them here. But at the same time, if we get that, if we put them more, you know, in their comfort zone at first, it's going to lead to more of those face-to-face interactions down the road. And I think there's just more ways for us to get in touch with people virtually now than there ever was. And I think it just opens a whole door to opportunities.
So I'll jump in with one more question here as we kind of stay close to our 10-minute title here. Don't mean to bring up a topic that might keep you up at night as this last one, but I know obviously with schedules hopefully coming soon and a lot of planning and strategy that needs to be, you know, put into place here over the next 2, 3, 4 months, hiring and onboarding and building your team or rebuilding your team, I guess in this case, is going to be a big topic. Can you just kind of take us through your mindset and what that process might look like on your side?
Yeah, I think, you know, so many teams across the minor league level are you know, down to potentially, you know, we here in Trenton are down to two people on our ticketing side. And I'm sure there's a lot of teams like us out there. And it's really a shame what you know, COVID-19 did to this industry. We have seen so many talented people lose their jobs over the past 6 to 8 months, and it's really disheartening, you know, to see that, see friends and see colleagues lose their jobs. And the talent pool that is going to be out there for, you know, when the hiring process begins again is going to be like something we've never seen before. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be the graduating classes and these the up and comers that are trying to break into the industry for the first time that, you know, also need to be interviewed and be talked to, because, you know, if, you know, rewind 5-6 years, you know, I'm coming out of college and I'm looking for that first opportunity. You know, maybe I never get my first opportunity here with the Trenton Thunder because, you know, that you go to somebody with, you know, a vast amount of experience and I lose out and, you know, I don't get the opportunities to grow like I did. You know, so I think it's going to be important to keep that in mind. And obviously something, you know, big here is building that culture, and big everywhere is building that culture and making sure you have the right pieces in place. You know, you see it with sports teams all the time. You know, they think they're just that one or two people away from building that perfect team. You go out and you sign the big free agent, and you know, maybe they just don't fit the culture that you've wanted to put in place, or they're so set in their ways of how they used to do things, and you know, we do it differently here, and the two just never mix. So it's still going to be important that you go out and you find the right people and not just somebody that's like, oh, they've done this before, they have the experience. Like, it's going to be a fit no matter what, and try to force things, because there's going to be young talent out there as well, in addition to the people that have a lot of experience, that, you know, we don't want to miss out on these up and comers and really, you know, what could be the building blocks of the future of the organization. You know, for not necessarily, I don't want to say a quick fix, but you're going to have people that, you know, maybe come in that were at a manager level or a director level and take a manager job or a sales executive job and leave after a year. And that could be a great year. I mean, some of the best years we've had here in Trenton are when we have, you know, we've had three sales reps with 3 to 4 years experience. But then if you're turning over going into the 2022 season, you know, you're kind of set back. So it's going to be important. And I go back and forth all the time of how am I going to build my staff? Obviously, I want to get back the people that I've lost, you know, because I've tutored them and taught them the ways that we want to see things done here in Trenton. And, you know, we're excited to bring them back. And if they want to come back, obviously, they're exploring opportunities for themselves as well. But, you know, it's going to be about making sure you still do your homework on people to make sure that you find the right fits for your organization to set yourselves up for not just 2021, but 2022, 23, 24 and beyond. You know, you don't want to just have those quick fixes and you really want to establish what you had and what we had in 2020 and making sure we have that for years to come. You know, so there's going to be a lot of important things to do when you're thinking about rehiring your staff.
That's a great perspective. It's basically like you're the GM and building the off the field team. You've got a salary cap you can work with, but you're trying to build that experience level like you're talking about, but you're also trying to find potentially that rookie of the year that can really help fill in and fit the needs of the team. So, well, good luck with that. I know that'll be a busy next couple of months here for you, but really appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us and kind of fill our listeners in. So thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great talking to you, as always.